This episode is brought to you by NordVPN. Listen up, nerds. No. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border and coast to coast and all the ships at sea.
What?
Hello, friends. Do you have a computer? Of course you do, because it's not 1987. Hell, you're listening to this on some kind of computer right now. But do you have a VPN? Oh, what's a VPN, you ask? Well, my friend, a VPN is a virtual private network and it offers two key benefits: enhanced privacy and security online. But VPNs do a lot more than that. VPNs shield your IP address, change your browsing location, and make online life easier. It's all about safety and security, my friends. But like everything else in life, it's also about watching TV. Don't let your paid subscriptions go to waste. I use NordVPN to access my home content while I'm traveling. Wink, wink. Plus, secure your connection on public Wi-Fi in airports, hotels, cafes, anywhere you go when you're traveling. There's over 6,300 servers in 111 countries, and you can find a nearby server for the best VPN speeds. NordVPN is easy to use. Connect with one click or enable auto-connect for zero-click protection. And it's got amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there. And with just one NordVPN account, you can use it on 6 devices. It supports every major platform: Windows, Android, iOS, macOS, Linux, even Android TV. I think those are all real. Don't miss out on all the awesome benefits for using a VPN. Go to nordvpn.com/ifanboy today for a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. The link's in the show notes. Once again, that's nordvpn.com/ifanboy.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is like a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on, over and over in your mind about it, and like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often, I have found — I am not a therapist — I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it, and sometimes it makes you realize, like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things, and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it, work your way through it, figure out coping skills, how to get around it, you know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ifanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/ifanboy.
Hey, and welcome to the ifanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast, episode 34.
Whore.
Hey, welcome to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast. It's episode 34. My name is Josh. I'm here with Ron.
Hey.
And Connor.
Hi.
And at iFanboy.com, we like comics. We read about them, and every week we read a whole lot of them and pick the best one. And then, of course, whoever does that writes a review up on the website. And then we come to the podcast, and we talk about it. And any
Breathe.
Other stuff.
Exhale.
Okay, he's telling me I talk too fast. But none of you want to listen to this for the 90th time.
This is for the two new people who downloaded it this week.
There's hundreds of people going, oh, all right, get on with it. And I'm just getting on with it. The rest of you can't figure it out, and I don't know what to tell you. Anyway, this week, Ron had the pick, and with no further ado.
Thank you, Josh. It was a very light week for me. I literally only bought 6 comic books this week, which was good on my wallet.
I got 14.
This is my third week in a row of spending $30 plus. I got like 13.
Oh, well.
What's going on with
me? Anyway, so It was really easy to get through my stack of six books, and I was really leaning towards picking the final issue of X-Men, The End, Book 3, Men and X-Men.
Number
6.
Answer the whole title, please.
Because it was actually pretty good. I mean, it ended pretty nicely. But Civil War, Frontline, number 1, blew it out of the water. And I know it's one thing to kind of roll your eyes and groan when you go with the event book, like we've been talking about the past couple of weeks. But this was a book that, if you go to ifanboy.com and read a rant of mine a couple of weeks ago, I was looking forward to this book and also kind of worried about it. Because of a previous execution of a similar idea a couple of months ago by Paul Jenkins. Paul Jenkins wrote this along with a couple of different artists. Basically, to sum it up again, and I'll be brief for you all. back during the
decimation. We've talked to him about his explanations. And then on page 7, panel 4.
Then back on the back in the decimation thing, back in the fall, Paul Jenkins did a miniseries that was kind of going over the effect of the mutants losing their powers from the point of view of this alcoholic reporter who was kind of down on her luck. And it was I made it as a pick of the week for the first issue when it came out, and it just went straight downhill from there. The stories got didn't stay tight. The artwork got sloppy, and it was kind of by the last issue it was like, oh god, this was awful. But now Jenkins is at it again, and the purpose of Frontline is that I believe that there are two issues coming out in between each issue of Civil War, the miniseries.
Yeah, it's twice monthly.
Right, and it's from the point of view of this down-on-the-luck alcoholic reporter who works for the liberal newspaper in New York, and Ben Urich, who we're all familiar with from Daredevil, and them covering the Civil War from the press angle and covering the kind of the minutia and stuff like that. That's kind of stuff that's important that happens, but not important enough to make it into the Civil War miniseries. Is that brief enough of an explanation for you?
Yes.
I'm sorry, what?
Okay, good. the first thing out of the gate that what makes this book great is that look at the price tag. It's $2.99.
Right.
And count the number of pages. There are 32 pages of stories and no ads whatsoever. You get the 22-page main story, and then there's a short backup story with art by Steve Lieber, who is a iFanboy fan favorite, right?
Sure.
Did me a great sketch once of the girl from Whiteout.
And then there's just a four-page kind of vignette towards the back, and I believe this is the format that's going to be in all 10 issues of this comic with no ads except for the ad on the back and the back cover. So first off, that's pretty cool. When do you see no ads in the book these days? And $2.99 for 32 pages? That's awesome. Mm-hmm. But so the main gist of the story is that, you know, we're kind of introduced to Ben and this alcoholic reporter whose name, I just can never remember her name, and I guess that probably doesn't say
well. And we're not going to have to do that again. Her name is...
I can't find it. Sally.
Sally.
Sally, the drunken reporter for the Liberal magazine. Liberal
the
paper.
Alternative.
Anyway, so she and Ben are at a wake of one of their...
fellow journalists
who died in the Stanford accident, and that's where we kind of establish their connection of where they're going to talk to each other about their coverage of the story, and we get a little point of view of the Daily Bugle, we get a little point of view from the alternative paper, and then it follows Sally as Spider-Man visits her and asks her to tell his story about why he's never revealed his identity, and this appears to be the night before Amazing Spider-Man that came out last week. So it appears to be like Peter's on the brink of going to unmask or whatever he's going to do in the next issue of Civil War or Amazing Spider-Man. And then at the end of the story, we see Sally and Ben at a press conference in D.C. where Iron Man then unmasks himself, revealing himself to be Tony Stark to the world. And I'm sorry, Vertical, or whoever else doesn't like spoilers, but I just spoiled it. But whatever.
He's unmasked himself like a billion times.
That's true.
Yeah. What's funny is that he even says that in his speech. I mean, I don't know if he read it or not, but he says, you know, like, I know over the years I've done this before, but like, and then, you know, only to do some elaborate ruse to hide it again, but now this is real, you know, so.
Tony Stark's Iron Man again, what else is
yeah,
new?
Yeah, grown. But what's interesting is that they also played in the alcoholic angle.
Yeah.
Right.
Because when he unmasks, he goes, hello, my name is Tony Stark, and I'm an alcoholic, and it's time to come clean. It's just like.
Hi, Tony.
It's actually a really good reason for him to do it, though. It's an incredibly good, if you're wondering why he wants to go public, that is,
right.
You know, if you know how alcoholics get treated, and boy, do I, no. but like it's a whole thing about being honest with yourself, and like, that's a really interesting angle that I hadn't thought about taking him in.
Yeah, and it's kind of also, and it also has to do with why he would hide his identity and the responsibility factor of being a hero and all that kind of stuff. Whereas, you know, if with the Registration Act, if he's an alcoholic, would they allow him to continue to be Iron Man? Mm-hmm. You know, is he a liability because of his alcoholism? You know, so it's, and it was also interesting because he brought two Iron Man decoys of older armors. Mm-hmm. And on a complete side note, it just reminded me. The old original Iron Man armor with the silver, the big bulky armor was whatever, but like that original yellow and red costume is just kick ass. And
so
like
is.
looking at how he looks now, he looks like a freaking mecha Iron Man, and it just looks so bad. You know, like he should go back to the old one.
The first suit's really bulky.
I love that. Yeah, though. Like you just imagine that it's really creaky.
Right. Well, it goes back to what I said during the Illuminati. When he sits down at the table to plan, like how is it not like ouch, ouch, ouch? You know what I mean? Like it's just like
super mecha. So he's okay. But
even the new one, even though it's super mecha, doesn't change the fact that it's still iron.
Or something. Alloy.
Or something.
Yeah,
some
but
metal.
I imagine that it feels more like a modern soldier's body armor or something like that.
Right. We might be taking it a little too seriously.
Could be.
But
there's also two backup stories in this issue.
Yeah, the first backup story has to do with the sole remaining new warrior who survived the Stanford incident.
Bert.
And I wanted to know what you guys thought of it. Let's not give this one away, because this is one that people should read about.
Okay.
But I thought it was a really kind of smart. It was done. It wasn't a cop out. It wasn't a comic book kind of like, oh, he survived. Like it was they used the person's powers to justify how they survived.
And they're going to make a lot of fans who are all rip shit very happy.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, that's true.
I agree. For one thing, on this segment, really great art. You mentioned Steve Lieber, but I mean, it's just, and they don't use him very much. I was starting to like, where's he been for so long?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you're absolutely right, and it didn't just say he's back, and then you send him out flying again. Oh, he flies.
And there's consequences to his. There's consequences to what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
The second story, I don't know what the point of it was.
You mean the third story?
Well, yeah, the second backup story.
The second backup story. Well, I think this has actually gotten a lot of. Criticism, I think, because basically what it was is that Paul Jenkins found an anonymous poem written by somebody in one of the Japanese internment camps in 1943 on the West Coast, and they drew what was happening in the internment camp as the poem is being narrated, but overlaid on top of it is Spider-Man, I guess dealing with what you know his decision. And I guess I mean I think the, and the point of view of this is I think Jenkins is trying to provide a historical context to the political aspect of the story.
And right. Also, I think one of the other things about this book that they said it was going to be was it would show you both sides and whatever. And it certainly does show you a unique side of this kind of thing. It's the idea that you're doing your duty as an American to be in this
by going into a camp.
Well, no, but I'm not saying I'm not saying I agree with it, but it is another side of it. It is another way to look at it. And
it's
if
a
you wanted to
side.
Try to.
Stupid.
I don't agree with the internment of the Japanese, but the one thing was is they said this book would show you both sides of the story. So what? And it didn't really. Because,
no, it didn't.
You know, Ben Urich is clearly not for all this. He's just doing his job because he happens to work for J. Jonah Jameson, and the entire story is slanted towards you know the liberal viewpoint. I think.
Right. Well, and I think what's going to happen is that the fact that there are two issues. I hope the fact that there are two issues a month. Like the next issue will be more Ben focused. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing, though, is that in the discussion at the wake in the beginning, Ben does support the Registration Act. Mm-hmm. He does say it makes sense. You know,
they've
but he's
done a really good job of putting major characters on the fence about this.
Yeah. But I think what he's having a problem with is the way the Bugle's chasing it. Mm-hmm. You know, is in terms of you know to make money off of it as opposed to wondering why this is happening.
So the question here is Robbie Robertson like just defeated or does he not care anymore? Because he has a little speech in there where he's like, "Listen, we got to sell papers."
Well,
that's the reality of the modern newspaper.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly.
But
I mean,
he used to be more of an optimistic sort of character, I think.
I don't think he's not anymore. I don't know enough about the character, you know, through the other Spider-Man books to know or not. But I mean, I think he's just being realistic and saying that this is what we're doing to sell papers, and we just got to do our jobs, mm-hmm. and it makes a pretty good argument, you know, in terms of you know like they're fighting low numbers, the online thing is cutting into us day by day. You know, I mean, it's the harsh reality of the press in this you know 21st century. So
I can make my small nitpick if you don't mind. I think that Marvel really needs to come up with a consistent style guide for Ben Urich.
Yeah.
And because I didn't, I was like,
he looks a little Woody Allen in this.
I know. I'm looking at him and I go, I think that's Ben Urich, but his face was shaped like an upside down triangle, and like,
yeah,
he just doesn't look the same in everything. And I think they need to use like whatever they're doing in Daredevil. That should be the template.
Yeah, because he's badass in Daredevil, but yeah, in this he's like nebbish. You know, like the shot of him like straightening his glasses and like he's all dumpy and like everything. You know, whereas in Daredevil he's got the overcoat and he smokes.
He's
like,
haggard,
you know,
and that's okay. Yeah, yeah. But like the thing is about him is, you know, we were talking about this, he's just some guy.
Yeah.
And because of he doesn't have a costume, Marvel really needs to work to be consistent. If they're going to use this character, and they use him a lot, he's like...
He's the go-to
maybe this
guy.
Comes from... Was he the guy in Marvel's? Or was that somebody else?
No, that was Phil Sheldon.
Okay, well, you know,
he's
but
a photographer.
He is sort of the note-taker for... He's almost replaced the Watcher in the Marvel Universe now. You know, like he's
that's
along
a bold statement.
They don't use the Watcher anymore.
Yes, they do. He's an Uncanny X-Men.
No one reads the X-Men. That's not
true. The Watcher is still very prominent. Well, no, but I know what you mean. He's like the Observer.
And
he's
in a lot of books, and he's there, and he's sort of a. It's funny because if you think about it, Marvel has actually had this, in addition to the superhero stories that have been going on for decades, like the backstory of the Daily Bugle going on has always been in the back of all these stories, and what's been changing, and that's been changing as time went on, which I find very interesting because
it's not also superheroic.
It's also since Peter doesn't really work there anymore, they've got to have the reason to show the Daily Bugle, and they just, you know, how else to do it but use Ben Urich more.
Yeah, and they do, and I like that a lot, which is why I say like he needs to be. I need to know when I look at Ben Urich, hey, that's Ben Urich. So.
I had one little nitpick, which is kind of a little more social nitpick than anything, but I don't know, I'm kind of on the fence about it, but in the scene where Sally and Spider-Man talk was actually very funny. It was actually, Jenkins really wrote it well.
He wrote Spider-Man for a long time.
Yeah, he wrote Spider-Man for a while, and he came up with that typeface villain that everybody hates, and I think he gets more of a hard time for his work on Spider-Man than he actually deserves, because he writes Peter really well, but... Mm-hmm. This whole Sally character is kind of his baby, and so I guess he can do what he wants with her. But like reading the last series, we found out how she lost her daughter. Her daughter died, and you know, she's fought alcoholism, and she finally, at the end of the last series, she started going to AA. And now in this thing, Spider-Man, you know, sneaks in her apartment and scares her, and then decides to talk to her. And then the next page, she just says, "Oh, what the heck? Sobriety can wait another day. You want one?" And she's pouring a Jack Daniels.
I know, like maybe she.
And I was just like, I was disappointed. I mean, I know that like, I know it's kind of realistic, and I know that my personal views might tie into it or whatever. But like, I was just like, oh, why did you make her drink this quickly?
Yeah,
you know,
like give her more.
She
didn't
of a reason.
Yeah. Like, she didn't struggle like she with it at all.
Exactly. There was no. Like, should I? Tomorrow's another day.
But
like,
at the same time, I bet that's what happens. People look for the tiniest excuse, and you know, they were like, "Hey, Spider-Man's in my apartment." That's good reasons, honey.
And then she tries to jump his bones.
Exactly, which is awesome. The awkward. Well, this was awkward. That was great.
Yeah, it was.
So anyway, so that was Frontline number one. So I mean, it was good. I mean, it paid off for the anticipation, and so you know, we'll see. The next issue comes out not this week, not next week, but the week after.
It brought up a lot of questions about like the Iron Man's press conferences and like when he's unmasking as opposed to what's going on in Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah, I think they're running into continuity timeline problems.
That's a problem. They're all going to have the nice covers, you know, with the trade dress. They're going to get that right.
As far as I can – I mean, because you know me, because I'm a continuity freak about this stuff. As far as I can tell, that this Frontline happens – like Spider-Man visits her the night before – the night he decides to – when Aunt May gave him the suit in Amazing Spider-Man and talked with Aunt May and Mary Jane and decided to go back to DC and unmask. And so then the next day is in Frontline when Iron Man unmasks – has to be just like the morning, and then Spider-Man unmasking is going to be in the afternoon.
It's a
like,
busy it's day. The,
yeah, Tony's just like, he's got a schedule, and he's got, you know. Like,
but Spider-Man scene here where he goes to talk to the woman, this would have then been happening at the same time that he was having all those conversations with, like the same night that he had the conversations with May and Mary Jane and stuff like that.
Right, conceivably. Yeah, either before or after it.
But
maybe before
like,
he went home. Or,
I don't know, he just seems to be in a slightly different mental place for the two. And I know that you got two different writers and two different things going on and whatever, but... It's a little jarring because the books are coming out so close to each other.
Right. But at the same time, if you just kind of roll with it and just take dramatic license and just assume
it
all fits.
Which I think is the best way to go.
Yeah, because then you'll go crazy like I do.
Exactly.
So.
What year is it in D.C.?
I want to know the lotto numbers in 52. That's what I want to know. Because I don't care. Someone wrote in trying to set us straight on the – I forget who it was, but somebody wrote us an email about, you know, about my problem with the D.C. timing and everything. Mm-hmm. It is – 1 year later is next year. And 52 is Nav.
Yeah, well, it's not. It's also in a comic book.
Right, yeah, I know. But I know. Connor, but that's where my
friend. Connor said there's no years in DC, and it's true, right, because otherwise Robin would be 72.
Right, I know. And Rogue would be 39.
Exactly.
And, you know, all this stuff. So anyway, so so that was pretty much it for me for the week. I mean, Frontline was my main one, and like I said, I bought 5 other books and nothing really, you know, that dramatically great. So
you count, when you count the other books, did you count the two, like the back issues?
No, I didn't. I didn't count the back issues that I purchased that we're going to talk about a bit.
Okay.
So, but did you guys pick up anything that was worth reading?
There were a couple of big books that came out of DC this week, as there are every week now. I think the first issue of Wonder Woman came out, and I was like, all right, I'll pick it up.
Heinberg wrote that.
Terry Dodson, fan favorite. It was supposed to be the big sort of coming out of Wonder Woman, and I thought, well, maybe they'll...
She's gay? She's gay too?
No.
Yes.
He said the coming out of Wonder Woman.
No.
I went for the easy joke.
Yeah, you
sorry.
Did. It was okay.
Well, with the whole Batwoman thing that's been going on, I just, you know.
I thought it was good, mostly because I've read a lot of Wonder Woman reboots. Mm-hmm. I keep going back to the well, and
they reboot her a lot.
Well, they normally, what happens is it gets rebooted and it's good for a while, then it gets mired in the whole Greek myth, you know,
Hippolytia,
Amazon thing, and I just don't care about that. It gets really convoluted, and I tried the Greg Rucka run, and I tried the Phil Jimenez run, and I just didn't like any of them, so I keep trying. This one shows a lot of promise. It's pretty straightforward superhero stuff, and the art is really beautiful. And
Because when Greg Rucka talked about that, he was nearly in tears. Couldn't even look at the end of his issues, and I was like, God, it must have been good. But
I gave him, like, 5 or 6 issues, and it was okay. It's just I don't care at all about the myth part of her. Mm-hmm. I like her as a superhero. I don't – all the stuff about the gods and all that just bores me to tears. So, and he was really he's really into that, so I just – I didn't like it. But
this felt to me like a very sort of straightforward superhero comic. Like,
right, and that's why it was good, because it's so different than what she normally is, how she's normally written.
I thought it was supposed to be like a mystery.
Well,
or am I completely wrong?
There could be spoilers coming up.
All right.
Well, the point.
Well, I'm not going to pick it up, so I have no desire to.
Well,
basically, the idea of it at the beginning is not Diana. The Wonder Woman is. Wonder Woman is
Donna Troy is Wonder Woman.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And then there's a big reveal, like, and everyone's like, "Where's Wonder Woman been?" Because, you know, the 1 year later, they're the 3 people who are missing.
Because it's 2007.
Yeah.
Yes. Actually, it's 1985 in the DC Universe.
Back to the Future hasn't even come out yet.
So it's I thought it was really just good, solid superheroing, and Alan Heinberg's pretty good.
See, though, I having read no Wonder Woman or anything, like, it didn't hook me at all. Like, I don't really want to read more about it, having no history in the character. So, no, if you're wondering, like, hey, maybe I'll get into this character now, you know, having no real, you know, care one way or the other about Wonder Woman.
Well, if you like good superhero books, then there you go, buy it.
Yeah, but I don't know.
And plus, I think Wonder Woman's one of those characters who has, like, a strong following.
Right.
Although probably not as strong as the Batmans or the Supermans or the X-Men of the world, but probably right behind them, so.
Before we get to our next book, I want to really quickly mention that because we have to, it's contractually obligated. We mentioned Jonah Hex, which was, I thought, one of the most grisly comics I'd read in a while.
It was awesome, is what it was.
It was just grisly from top
and
to bottom.
That's all I'm going to say. I thought the first couple of pages were a little rough, and then after that, it totally redeemed itself.
Yeah, it's like there's mass killings and...
There was one page where I went back and forth over them like a bunch of times, be like, wait, what happened? Why did everyone just get killed?
Yes, I mean, so lots grisly of blood. There was a grisly sexual assault, and then there was a body swinging from a tree at the end. So,
good stuff. And that's all we're saying on it.
Yeah.
But we're at number 8 now, and
it's not letting up.
Nope, it's good.
Josh, I know you wanted to talk briefly about another book that was a number 1.
Who were this other book was created by the same team who do Jonah Hex, actually. Which gave me, but it also, the Superman Returns prequel, number 1 of 4. Now, at the top of this book, it says, written by Brian Singer, Michael Dougherty, and Dan Harris, who are the writers of the new Superman movie. So I thought, oh, it will be something interesting. And then Jimmy Palmiotti and somebody Gray, what's his
Justin.
Name? Justin Gray did the script for it, and really nice art by Olivetti. Ariel Olivetti?
Yes.
Right? Yes.
Yeah, good art.
Really great art. And I thought, well, okay, this will be good. I'm excited for Superman. It's going to be a run-up to it. And why don't you explain what we got?
We got the first 5 to 10 minutes of Superman the movie.
from...
You're kidding me.
It's, no.
The script. It was a comic adaptation of the beginning of the Superman motion picture. I don't
Connor,
know...
Connor, what point did you realize and throw it across the room?
Well, I didn't, because...
Ah! Just
it. No, not Superman Returns. Superman the movie from 1978.
Oh, I thought it was the movie.
It's literally an adaptation in exactitude.
Oh,
of
wow!
The beginning of that movie, and I'm like, well, what did Bryan Singer do?
Yeah,
nothing.
Well, basically, I mean, they do fill in more of the, like, you know how in the movie there's a whole scene with Jor-El talking to the council about how the planet's going to explode.
Yeah.
Tell him to basically get lost, and then he sends his kid away.
Yep.
That's.
I know. I watched
convoluted,
it last night.
But then,
to
this
make
is
sure
the,
it's.
The, it's not the
script,
same, is it?
The script, yes.
Really?
The words are note for note. It's the exact same thing. I watched
well,
it last
dumb.
Night to be sure. Like I
nah, that's dumb.
It's really dumb. I mean, the art is the only sort of thing that comes out of this that is notable. It's a beautiful, beautifully drawn book. But there's no. If you've ever seen the first Superman movie, there's no need to read this.
Wow.
It's Krypton. Then they send off Cal at the end, and then he lands.
So I was really disappointed because I was looking forward to something good with this. I kind of like held off on this till the end of my stand.
Well, because aren't there like a whole bunch of other one shots that are coming out that are supposed to be that are supposed to be like prequels to the movie, but not recapping the
well,
previous
this,
movie.
This is a 4-issue miniseries, so those are the other three. But if you look at it, it says next week's issue. It says, "How has the Man of Steel's mother handled her son's 5-year absence?" So then next week we're really going to hit the new material.
The cover for the next Superman awesome looks awesome, by the way.
Yeah. So if you want to pick it up next, starting with issue 2.
So the build up to the movie.
If you've ever seen the first one, don't bother buying this. If you've ever seen the first movie, it's pointless.
I was pretty surprised.
I was disappointed. I was like, I spent $4 on this.
Also because Josh talked me into buying it. Thanks, Josh.
Good stuff. So, all right. Well, so I think that's about it for this week's books that came out.
Yeah, there's a lot of good books in there. They don't necessarily all merit having talked about, but right. You know, Detective's still going strong, really well. You know, Why the Last Man, good week. 52 rules on. You're safe, vertical.
So I did pick up on a whim because I only picked up 6 books and I figured I could spend a little more money. I picked up the first 2 issues of Checkmate.
As did I.
You did as well.
I did also.
Wow, it's a trifecta.
So Daryl.
This is now number 2 in iFanboy.com user speak.
Right.
In that we all bought Fell and now we've all bought Checkmate. So. You guys, you know, if you speak up loud enough, we'll listen and we'll give it a shot and give you guys what we think of it.
Also, if it's talked about enough by the author on the podcast and it's interesting, then we'll also.
Right, yeah, true. Yeah, honestly, that's kind of what put me over the edge is listening to that Rucka Word Bloom podcast where he talked about it. And I was like, oh, actually, it does sound pretty interesting. Because all Daryl said was, it's great, get it. And I had no context.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting comment because after reading the first 2 issues, I still have no context and I have no idea what's going on. Like, I mean, I got the gist of it that there's some covert action team that is multinational.
Oh my god! You just named the Wildcats.
Yeah, exactly. Basically, yeah. And I understand that, and I understand there's some political dealings as to whether they get, you know, the UN, you know, China's doing something shady, trying to shut them down. All this, but like, why is Alan Scott not in his Green Lantern costume?
See, because he's in charge of Checkmate now.
Did you read?
But 52? He's in 52,
no.
And he's in his car.
52
yeah, he's
is last year.
All right.
I'm serious. I thought that was one of the things that really impressed me about it, is that they brought Alan Scott out, and then the point of 52 is what explained in the year in between when all these number ones came out.
You're right.
And that's exactly what
I'm stupid.
It was, and yeah. I really like that. I was like, that's nice continuity. Because you're like, why does he have an eye patch? Well,
you
just
find that out.
He has an eye patch.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, exactly. But Mr. Terrific gets to be in his costume.
I noticed that.
Yeah.
And he needs to lose that T.
Yeah, the T's wrong. Is it paint or is it a mask? I think it's paint.
I think I would go with paint.
I don't know. But I don't know. I know nothing of DC, so I don't know what Checkmate was before this series, and I think it was it was something with Max Lord, right?
No. Well, Checkmate was originally always been this government sort of organization. And then Max Lord when he went bad, he took it over.
Okay.
So that it wasn't always to do with Max Lord. It was
Right, no, but most recently Max Lord.
Right, most recently he ran it While he was secretly evil. To me, the most confusing thing was keeping track of all the white kings, white queens, black queens, black kings,
yes,
bishops,
and they kept
knights.
On referring like, who was whose bishop and who was knight.
Yeah,
and all
that was very confusing to me.
It was actually done really well, so I was kind of impressed by Rucka in that sense. I was like, okay, he's keeping them straight. I was sort of starting to figure him out by the end.
It's just hard to keep track of.
It's hard because there are multiple knights and bishops, so I don't know. It's hard.
Yeah, when they say the black queen's white bishop, I'm like, wait, who?
If you haven't read this, and I don't know how many people have, I don't know how it's selling or anything like that, but basically, the spy organization is aligned in terms of a chessboard. So like the four leaders are the white king, the white queen, the black king, and the black queen, and then they have all
and,
their
and
pieces
the white side is the white side is like administration, and the black side is operations.
Right. So, which is
and
a good
Alan
idea.
Scott is the White King, the original Green Lantern.
Yeah.
And I don't know who any of these other characters
Sasha
are.
Sasha Bordeaux from Detective Comics, remember?
Oh! That's who she is.
Yes.
The one from Rucka's...
Click.
The one from...
The private detective?
Yes. The bodyguard. Oh, Bruce Wayne's bodyguard.
I knew that name.
And then she's half metal now from the events in Infinite Crisis.
Oh, see, that was the... That's why I needed you to fill in these things. I knew that name.
Yes.
I see.
And then Amanda Waller used to run Suicide Squad. She's the White Queen. And then I don't know who told.
She's a fatty.
I was wondering how long it would take.
And then Talib Benny Khalid. I don't know who he is.
And I kind of know who Mr. Terrific is.
Terrific's from Justice Society with Alan Scott.
And Fire.
King Faraday. He's been around for a while. Fire's from the Justice League. These other
Vertigo,
people.
Warner Vertigo.
Yeah, Count
Vertigo.
He was
a
villain.
Yeah,
Captain Vertigo, and the other ones I'm not sure who they are.
Yeah, well, and it doesn't matter, Jonah McCarthy, because he's dead.
Who's Shen Li Po?
He's Chinese.
Chinese,
and not to be trusted.
But anyway, so it was. But all in all, it was. I mean, like I didn't like it was. Both issues were about 10 feet above my head the entire time. But other than that, it was good. Well, I think I'll keep on buying it. I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued enough to keep up with it.
I will
so.
Say that there was a whole bunch of characters that I didn't really know, and it was still cohesive enough that I could follow it. And by the end of the second issue, I had a pretty good handle on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah, no, I mean, I kid about not getting it and like not knowing everything, but I mean, I got it and understood. And now I want to know what the Chinese are doing.
I
want to know what's going
too.
On. I want to know if they're going to get – if the UN's going to vote again.
Little weak, though.
What's going to happen?
Little weak, though, to make the enemy Cobra. I don't know. I mean, like, everything that did that, I just heard, you know, the Cobra Commander voice.
Right,
Cobra.
So.
On a side note, I also picked up the last four issues of Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh, nice.
Because I felt ashamed.
They're really quite good.
Yeah, they are.
And I'm not a Straczynski fan anymore. So
neither am I. I mean, he's done more bad than good on that book, but they have been pretty good. And I hopefully thanking to the planning of Marvel with the Civil War event, you know, and like making sure after the disastrous the other thing that they're trying to make sure all their I's are dotted. And their
of course, depending on what happens, the next issue will decide whether or not I continue to buy it.
Right, whether he unmasks or not.
Right.
So let's not get into that again. So I don't know. Cool. So last week, Josh, when you were in the desert, you told us you got your Watchmen omnibus in the mail, right?
Stop calling it that. That's the Marvel name.
Damn it. Why do I do that? Watchmen, absolute Watchmen. Only because I hate the fact that it's absolute, like it's playing off the vodka thing, which is just so lame.
No, I don't think that's what it is.
Yeah, it absolutely is. It's the same font.
There's an E.
Right. Because copyright. Yeah, but it's the same font. I mean, I think that's what they're going after.
I never thought that at all.
It's only the same font for the Watchmen edition. I've got the Crisis edition.
Oh.
It's a different font.
Oh.
And it's the same.
Okay,
basically, it's the same font as the Watchmen.
No, the Watchmen's more stretched out. Anyway, whatever. Okay. We're nitpicking. But, so we all have that. We all have that tome now. So
it's awesome.
It's a beautiful.
It is sweet.
So is the Crisis one, by the way.
I like the smell.
I'm actually rereading Crisis right now. Because of... Want to talk about that a little more? The smelling?
Because it's the nice, the, you know, like the crisply printed, the nice paper,
no, it's
and it
very
was just
nice.
Awesome. Yeah, so, anyway.
It's funny because I got that, and then I was like, maybe I'll just read Crisis again, which I don't understand at all.
No matter how many times you read it, you just can't
make
it's a
little better this time than the last time, but it's just, it is a little mid-80s-y and like it's cheesy, but I really like where comics have gone since then, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But the Watchmen piece is... I was a little disappointed that most of the stuff in it seems to be from the original trade. There's not
well,
really
that's
much...
because Alan Moore is not
Alan
cooperating
right.
with them.
But
so
Dave
not
Gibbons,
much they can
right?
Do. I think loyalty to Alan Moore will say no to that.
Probably, but the, I mean, I'm sure he's taking the checks for it.
I haven't compared the trade to the hardcover at all. Maybe you did, but I felt as if there was a little more.
No, there was more stuff in the end, but like this sort of, there's like a letter from Alan Moore, and it's from 1988.
Then, fuck you.
No, and there's a letter from Dave Gibbons.
Bollocks.
The Gibbons letters from 1988. I thought maybe they could get something out of him.
You
there
lousy
is
git.
Some nice sketches and some nice
bollocks. Sorry.
Careful, I'm just doing angry. People are all fired up because of the World Cup now, and you don't want to get on the
bad
side.
We're not fired up because of the World Cup. We're pretty fine. Hey, I've been up since 9 o'clock this morning watching soccer all day.
Football.
Right. I'm sorry. I'll call it soccer till the day I die.
And
Connor slept in.
And
I watched
the one thing that I really liked when I was looking through it. I haven't read through it again. Although I flipped through it and sort of looked at it and looked at my favorite pages and all that because it looks so nice. And my other book's yellowed. Like you can just.
Yeah, no, my copy of Watchmen's getting pretty red.
I am
so that's
always fascinated by reading a page of Alan Moore's script.
Yeah, if you've never seen his script, it's worth just looking at it in your comic store. Go to see if you can get a reading copy of Ultimate Watch. I mean,
Ultimate Watchmen.
This does not bode well for DC's marketing.
See if you can take a look at a copy of Absolute Watchmen. Look in the back. There's a whole section of his script. I think is it the first issue or just part of the first issue?
I forget.
Regardless, it's a sight to behold.
It's amazing.
The description, like it literally takes 10 minutes long to read, like
one panel
of his pen. Yeah, it takes so long.
And the funny thing is, you see where the artist has highlighted it. Like, all right, what do I actually have to draw?
Right, because a lot of it are just sort of notes and little things to the artist. It's a little superfluous, but the thing is, the guy has such a way with words that it's just interesting to watch anyway. And he plans out everything. I mean, that's got to be the reason why he's the best, because he takes the time to do it. Because I've written comic scripts, and you know, I'm like, oh, they'll fill in those blanks, but he does not. He leaves nothing to chance. And not
professional, really good,
by the way, just on my own that don't get published.
No artists.
So, I mean, if you can swing the price tag, I know you're a comic fan and you don't own it, or even if you own the trade paperback, I mean, like, it's in this beautiful slipcover. It's, you know, like, this is a library piece, you know what I mean? Like, this is one that should be, speaking of libraries, actually, my mom works for a library, and I sent her I'm like, you guys need to get this, and so they're getting it and putting it in the Northport Library.
Very
so.
Nice. I think the only other one that I'm positive I'll get is going to have to be The Dark Knight Returns.
Oh, screw that. I'm getting Batman Hush.
You really sold that.
I know. That was pretty good. Yeah, it was convincing, wasn't it? No. I'm going
to
get they're doing a year one.
Of which one?
Maybe I'm wrong.
They're not doing a year one. Which
is good. No.
I have that in hardcover.
There's not
already,
enough material for that.
Kingdom Come.
Yeah, that
and
worth
Batman Return, Dark Knight Returns. I'm definitely getting those two.
Yeah, I'm going to get The Dark Knight and Kingdom Come, and I might get Crisis. But you know what Marvel should do? Why isn't Marvel reprinting Marvels in an omnibus?
That's what
edition?
I was thinking. They definitely need that.
Yeah, because my copy of Marvels is so ragged. It's like, oh, gosh. Yeah.
I didn't even have that. But again, I didn't know who the reporter was, so there you go.
Yeah, Phil Sheldon. So
that was good.
Anyways, so if you got the coin, you know, it's all those. I mean, you won't regret making these purchases.
If there's only one hardcover you're going to ever go out and buy...
If you see one movie this year, if you only see one play, make sure you see Cats.
Ugh.
You're like an old lady sometimes.
Cats is awful.
If you buy one comic book hardcover this year, buy Absolute Watchmen Omnibus.
If you can't tell the difference
between
Ron and me,
edition.
He's the one who's like an old lady.
I'm the slightly bitchy one. Oh, good time. So, excellent. Yeah. So we got some announcements to make, guys.
Yes, we do.
Josh, do you want to?
All right, this is our big deal. If
Wonder
you
Woman
were planning
is gay.
To, oh, Dan Didio's going to be so upset with me. We're going to be
Josh
in
who?
San Diego this year. You totally took the wind out of me.
I'm sorry.
We're
okay,
we're San Diego Comic Con this year, as we've done in the
Woo!
Past. Except this year, we've got people listening. So here's what you can plan on. If you've ever been to the site in the past, either of you, and seen our previous coverage, we would go out and we'd take a lot of pictures and we'd write stuff about them and then do write ups of what happened every single day that we saw. This year we're going to keep doing that. We'll have a team of people with cameras out there. And we're also going to do write-ups every night about the kind of stuff that we saw. But we're also going to be doing a podcast from San Diego every night that you will be able to download as soon as we get it up, so at least by the next morning.
We don't know what we're thinking.
Yeah.
we preface it up front is that it's probably going to be like 11 o'clock in our hotel room, and we're either going to be exhausted and pooped, or we're going to be hyper and bouncing off the walls. Either way, you win.
Yeah, I think so. Well, unless it's like this. What happened? I don't know. I was in line for Rob Liefeld for a long time. I don't know why.
My feet hurt.
Patrick's going to wait for Rob Liefeld for 3 hours again and not get a sketch.
Don't wait in my line for Rob Liefeld. It's not worth it.
So we're going to be writing and posting coverage throughout the day at the con. We're going to be doing a nightly podcast,
and we'll be wandering the floor. So if you happen to be there and you want to say hi to us, make us feel important.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, to those of you who aren't going to be there, look out on the site. We're going to be putting up some preview content as we get closer to it to kind of build, to kind of build up the excitement. If there's anything you want us to check out or whatever, just let us know. And those of you who will be in San Diego, definitely, if you see us, say hi,
please. So. But wait, there's more.
There's more, Josh?
There is more. We've arranged to set up a panel of podcasters with the help of Scott from Fanboy Radio and Brian from Comic Geek Speak. We are going to be doing a panel on Sunday morning, 11:30 until 1 o'clock. We got an hour and a half, and there's going to be a lot of other podcasters there. You can come and see these people who you hear talk. And it'll be a wrangling fight to see who can get the most words out, because everybody there does love to talk.
And it's going to be interesting because this will, I mean, as far as I know, this will be the first ever panel about podcasting at San Diego.
Yes.
So it's kind of a cool thing. It's a cool thing that we're involved, and it's a cool thing that some of the other podcasts that we listen to and that you all listen to are going to be there. Mm-hmm. So we're very excited for this. So.
Yeah, very much so. But that'll be a lot of fun. And if you can stick around for Sunday morning, we'd love to see people there. We'll have stickers. So what else could you want, right? We'll give you a sticker.
So we're very excited for San Diego.
Very much
I know.
So.
Connor, you're looking forward to it, right?
Do I have to get up for the panel?
It's literally 11:30 for him is like, I don't know. Even though that's 2:30 his time.
Right.
Right, even though. But yeah, it should be a good time. So I'm looking forward to it. It's basically my vacation.
And if you can't make San Diego, our coverage is the next best thing to go on.
If you visit one convention this year, or if you don't go to one convention this year, don't go to San Diego. Read about it on iFanboy.com. So yeah, anyway. So it should be a good time. So hopefully, and we're doing this all for you people. So we hope you appreciate it. So.
Yeah, we're going on vacation and staying in a hotel in San Diego and wandering the floor
for you
and talking about comics for 4 days.
There's nothing self-serving in that at all.
And stalking Lou Ferrigno.
Oh man, we're gonna stalk Paul Dini.
Yeah, don't say it out loud.
Don't ruin the surprise.
I want him to know we're coming so that he sees us.
Paul Dini, we're finding you.
We gotta do an interview with him. I think that's clear.
Yeah, he rules. All right. He rules. So anyway, so San Diego. So that's our official announcement. We teased it a couple of weeks ago, but we are going. We're booked. We're gonna be there,
and we'll be on a panel Sunday morning.
Sunday morning, we'll be on the panel.
Legitimate. You hear that? We'll have badges on that say press, and we've had it in the past.
Yeah,
but this time, this time we mean it.
Exactly. So, and for those of you who can't be in San Diego, hopefully through us you'll be able to experience it and get the news as it happens. So,
we're going to report on the news.
Yeah, well, Some what else is there to do? The panels.
Okay.
So
that's big announcement number one. We also have another big announcement.
Yeah, so our second big announcement has to do with the fact that if you go to iFanboy.com starting today and look under on the homepage under the Pick of the Week, you'll see a banner entitled Subscriptions and Donations. Basically, we've been doing this site for over 5 years now, and we started doing the podcast about it's been 8 months now, guys?
Yes,
right?
8 months.
Yeah,
good Lord.
Yeah, jeez. So, and we love doing it, and we love providing a free place for you guys to talk about comics and a free place for us to post our content and for us to have this great, wonderful comics party. And we never, ever want to charge you for it. But our costs have gone up a little over the past year doing the podcast as we're looking for ways to grow and to give you more ways to, you know, enjoy comics and talk about comics. We're trying to, you know, make it more interactive, come up with some other – we got some good ideas that hopefully over the next year you guys will benefit from. So we want to set up a little area where if you feel so inclined, if you like what you hear, if you like what you read, and you just wanted to drop a couple bucks our way, we wanted to give you an opportunity to do that. We're not going to say
how
no,
kind of
know?
Us.
Yeah, exactly. Think of it like when you go to a museum and there's a recommended donation. Like you don't have to put the donation in, but if you wanted to, you could. So if you click on that banner, or if you go to ifanboy.com/donations, there are four options for you. The first one is a kind of a subscription. So if you wanted to sign up and pay us $3 a month for your enjoyment of the site and the podcast, go right ahead. That's less than a dollar a podcast episode, actually. For $20, one-time payment yearly subscription, so each year it would just charge you again $20. Or if you don't want an ongoing subscription, you can donate. Our recommended one-time donation is $1, less than a comic book. It's how much a comic book costs.
Less than a comic book cost 15 years ago.
Exactly. Or if you feel more generous or less generous than a dollar, you can just donate whatever you feel like. We partnered with PayPal, so it's all legit. It's all above board. You don't need to have a PayPal account. You can use your credit card or debit card or send an e-check.
We are not a terrorist organization that you will find out about later.
Yes, you're not funding terrorism. unfortunately, you know, like we've been lucky enough over the past 5 years where we had a great situation with the website where it doesn't cost us that much to host it. But the podcast bandwidth is expensive, and the more people that download it, the bigger the bills get. And it's not, you know, like, it's not killing us, but at the same time, it'd be nice to cover our costs so that we can focus on doing, you know, new and better stuff.
It's important to note that the donations won't go to beers and strippers.
Exactly.
We have a lot of good ideas. What
if we're in San Diego? Does that count as a business trip?
That's a gray area, which we will explore that next month.
But we feel, you know, there's the San Diego trip is a great example. I mean, like, we're, you know, that's my vacation, so I'm paying it out of my pocket. I'm not expecting anything like that. But there might be some things that come out of San Diego that you guys will really enjoy in terms of our coverage of it, and your money could help us do things like that down the road. So
yeah, we do have a lot of good ideas. We have a lot of ways we want to take the website and podcast and new directions, and unfortunately, some of those ideas require buying equipment or buying man hours or things we need to have expenses.
We're hiring laborers,
yeah,
and all above board and legal laborers, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, and again, keep in mind, we all have day jobs. We're not looking to make iFanboy like pay our rent or anything like that. We just want to give you guys what you want. So,
but don't look at the site and go there and see that thing that says donations and think, oh, great, now they're going to start charging and take off.
Yeah,
That's not it at all.
Exactly. I mean, if anything, it's just, like Connor said, every penny is going right back into the site. So
we're NPR.
Exactly. It's kind of like NPR. Exactly. So
It's also the Amazon.
Yeah, as well, also, you might notice that
That
for a couple of months we had some rotating banners with some different products, the William Shatner DVD Club and stuff like that.
Which nobody seemed to subscribe to? Come on.
We took those banners down, you might have noticed recently, because basically they weren't – the whole point is that, like, I'm generally against web advertising. You know, like, that's a huge kind of thing, but, like, having banners all over sites and, like, it's not for me.
Flashing and blinking at you and stuff like that.
But unfortunately, it is a way for people who run the sites to cover their hosting and bandwidth charges. So we tried those different kind of banners that you guys saw, the Star Wars shop and stuff like that. Really didn't, you know, like, I could look in the reports, not a whole lot of you were clicking on it, so I'm guessing you weren't interested in it. So we took them down. So we partnered also with Amazon.com now, and we're trying to Amazon, and we're trying to get them to serve comic book or graphic novel specific banners. And so hopefully you'll notice that the few banners that do appear on the site are things that you might want to buy. So if you're interested in that, click on one of the banners. Make your purchase. We use Amazon all the time. We're Amazon Prime members, and we love it. Also, if you're interested in buying something through Amazon, and it's not necessarily what's in the banner, just click on the banner anyway before you go to Amazon, because then we get credit for it. So, so you help us out.
If you were going to buy it anyway,
exactly.
We're just saying, just click there through us. I mean, chances are you're on the site anyway.
And people who've been around a while know we are Amazon junkies anyway. So this is something we've. it worked well for us, for you, for everybody. We use it anyway. We'd use it regardless. We've recommended using it before we even started the partnership. So it's just a good, it's a good service, and you get a lot of discount stuff.
Basically, everybody wins. Yeah. And you're gonna notice over the next couple of weeks and months as when we talk about something, you might notice on the site that we'll throw up an Amazon link to go purchase it. Similar to we started posting the soundtrack from the podcast with the music that's been used in the intro,
which we had done anyway, just in a link form.
Exactly. So
the point is, we've always been linking to Amazon since the beginning. It's just that now
they were making all the money.
Exactly. So now we're kind of spread a little bit of the wealth. So
Talked about this long enough.
So yeah, enough of the business. So if you're so inclined and generous enough to donate to us, we'd really appreciate it. If you use Amazon, click on the banners. Hopefully, you know, you can find some cool stuff that you're interested in. And regardless of whether you donate or not, we're going to continue doing the site. So
and the podcast. And basically, our promise to you on the other side of all this is that we're going to keep all this up, and more so as time goes on.
Exactly. We're trying to grow for you guys, because you guys have shown us that you're interested in what we're doing. So,
awesome.
Speaking of our users telling us that they're interested in what we're doing, the Frapper map seems to have exploded this week.
The slow push to 200 is now a fast push to 200.
Yeah, we're at striking distance.
We had 12 or 13 people put it in.
Yeah, they put it in all right.
Oh, put a pin in them. We have so low brow.
Where's my dump button? That's terrible.
Oh god, this is what happens when watching 6 hours of soccer in one day.
Put a pin in the map since last show. Notables including James Smee, who runs a really great comic store in San Francisco called Isotope Comics. You can go to isotopecomics.com.
Yes, James, thank you for saying hello via the Frapper map.
There's also Joshua in California and Wendell in our first Hawaii pin, I believe.
There was one pin that got me a little scared.
Well, we also had a whole bunch in the New York City area.
I feel as if an entire mafia crew discovered the podcast. It's because it was like New York, Staten Island, Brooklyn, New York.
But the one that scared Ron the most is Fizzarani.
Fizzarani, who demands recognition, mentioned my frappage. So Fizzarani, we've mentioned you.
Don't just back off,
please. Yeah, please don't break my legs.
So you've managed to stereotype the Italians. That's good.
Ron is an Italian
from Long Island, so it's okay.
So I'm allowed to. We should also mention Joshua from National City, California, who says that Connor, you're hot too. Don't worry.
Thanks, Josh.
About guys telling guys that they're hot. That's a little weird, but I don't know.
Okay, again, stop talking. Jesus, it's not so weird.
Anyway, it was a fun. Fun week for the Frapper map. So,
yeah, we're at 180 now. So, a nice round number. We'd like to get another 20 pins.
Yep.
Before we start bitching about getting a 300. It's a never ending bitch fest, basically.
Bitch, exactly. bitch.
nitpick.
I think that about wraps the show up this week.
I agree.
So don't forget to go to ifanboy.com for the most in depth comic book discussion and all the up to the minute news and stuff we put up on the website every day. We're not really news-based, but we're more discussion-based, but we still put as much as we can up there.
I like to think about culture-based.
Yeah, we're more comic culture-based than anything. If you want, there's a lot of places you can go for the latest person who's signed an exclusive contract, but we talk about a lot of different issues at iFanboy, so it's a good place to go. You can also email us at contact@ifanboy.com with any questions or comments or mail. We didn't really get any good mail this week, so we didn't do a listener mail segment. But
So send us some stuff. Whatever.
Send us some mail. Yeah.
We got mail. It was just nothing really discussion worthy, which isn't. We email back to people who wrote us. It's not like we're bashing them, but
we're hole diggers today.
Yeah,
this is.
Come on, it's the end. Let's finish strong.
So
that's about it. That's the release week show.
Don't forget to go to the Frapper map though. Frapper.com/ifanboy.
Or you can go to the ifanboy.com. There's a link to the Frapper map in the upper right hand corner. You can click there and go put your pin in the map.
Yep, exactly.
So. And starting today, if you feel like sending us a donation, you can go to the main page at iFanboy, and there's a link to that, or you can go to ifanboy.com/donations, and you can help us out.
Your donations keep us rolling.
And that's it for this week's show.
And thank you. I'm Josh.
I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
That was terrible! Good night! Like a kite.
would you give someone who wasn't very happy? What would you give them? They're low, okay, so what would you give them?
I mean, depends, isn't it? If it's someone who's just lost their arms and legs in an accident, you don't give them a lollipop.
Sure, or some mittens.
You give them a hat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And dare I say it, a smile.
A skateboard!
Yeah. Yeah.